Let's get you caught up on local news to start the day. We begin in Chapel Hill. 1 year ago this month, Chapel Hill Town Council member Rachel Shavitz stepped down from her seat as she was moving out of town. Town officials immediately took steps then to fill the vacancy, but 1 year and one global pandemic later, that seat is still empty. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras has the latest on this.
When Shavitz announced in January of 2020 that she'd be stepping down in order to move to New Zealand with her family, the Chapel Hill Town Council dropped down to 8 of its 9 members. After her departure, at their annual retreat last year, the town deliberated on further reducing the size of the council to 7 members. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger said they hoped to get more input from the public on this decision, to reaffirm whether to open up Shavitz's seat in an application process, or to reduce the number of council seats for good. The pandemic threw a wrench in those plans.
A year ago, we didn't, at the retreat, we didn't know about a pandemic coming, and we had planned to have that conversation first about a possible reduction. So that's what kind of delayed us, and then we got thrown into this world that was just so different to operate in that we pushed that conversation off as we got down to doing the work we were doing, since we had 8 of us who were pretty well involved in that.
The town initially received some input from the public suggesting community members to fill Shavitz's role. However, it also received concerns about how reducing the number of seats on the council could also reduce diversity. At this year's town council retreat, held virtually just last week, the Chapel Hill Town Council again discussed the possibility of reducing the council size from 9 to 7 members. And again, they chose to delay that decision.
And because of COVID and because it's an election year, we decided that that conversation had really no fair way to go forward in the public realm. So we've decided that we're going to postpone that discussion for now.
As far as operating during a pandemic with just 8 council members, Heminger said they have fared pretty well, as there has not been a lot of split voting. She said council meetings tend to run long at night with 9 different voices speaking, and adding an extra member right now would just further complicate how the council coordinates and conducts its business.
I think being educated, being put into a position and trying to learn how to be a council person during a pandemic would be overwhelming for anybody. The council generally felt that we were so close to the filing period by the time we could have a lot of public input, and again, only virtually public input, that it might make more sense to just wait and let the voters decide.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Other Chapel Hill news, work is set to begin next week on plans to demolish the parking deck at 125 East Rosemary Street. That's the beginning of what will be a much larger development and redevelopment on East Rosemary. The actual demolition won't happen until April or May. Mentioning it now, though, because starting next week, Monday the 22nd, the lower section of the Rosemary Columbia parking lot across the street will be closed off, so construction vehicles can use it as a staging area. 26 parking spaces in that lot won't be accessible. Over to Carrboro, where the town council is meeting at 7 o'clock tonight with an agenda that includes an update on plans to revise the town's comprehensive plan. But before that discussion, the town council will also recognize the artists who created the 2 new Black Lives Matter murals downtown, as 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach reports.
In response to the Black Lives Matter movement this summer, the town of Carrboro wanted to show their public support for the movement by painting murals throughout town. Since the town began the project in June, 2 murals have been created, one at Community Works and a second at Carrboro Century Center. Back in November, several young artists led by muralist Tyrone Small were commissioned by the town to paint the mural outside Community Works. They were chosen from a group of 17 applicants. The mural was completed in December. In January, a second mural was completed by Brian Barrett at the Carrboro Century Center. To commemorate the completion of these 2 murals, Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle said the town wanted to have a small outdoor gathering at the Community Works location, but had to change plans.
We've had to postpone it a few times, one because of weather, another just because of Governor Cooper not wanting gatherings, and just kind of trying to figure out a good time when we could all be there and kind of acknowledge the murals along with the different artists that worked on it.
As a result of the postponement, a staffer suggested the town recognize the artists at a future town council meeting. Lavelle said the council unanimously approved recognizing the artists virtually.
We're going to recognize the artists that we commissioned for those 2 murals and kind of have them there and properly thank them and hear a little bit about them, what it was like for them to produce those murals.
In addition to the murals, the town of Carrboro hung Black Lives Matter flags at the town hall over the summer. The town also passed a resolution prohibiting the use of chokeholds and rubber bullets or chemical agents on people exercising their First Amendment rights. To see photos of the murals completed in the past few months, visit chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
And you can get the full agenda for tonight's meeting and a link to the live stream at townofcarborough.org. Orange County commissioners are also meeting tonight at 7 with an agenda that includes a report on future economic development in the Buckhorn area. You can get the agenda and a link to stream that meeting live at orangecountync.gov. In state-level news, the North Carolina Republican Party's Central Committee voted unanimously last night to censure Senator Richard Burr for his surprising vote to convict Donald Trump in last week's impeachment trial. Burr issued a statement defending his decision after the censure. Ultimately, just a symbolic vote. Burr is already planning to retire when his term is up next year. And in medical news, COVID-19 numbers are still heading down in North Carolina. 1,941 residents are now in the hospital with the virus. That is the lowest we've seen since late November. More and more residents are also getting the COVID vaccine, and more locations are now beginning to offer the shots, including some Walgreens locations, part of a federal partnership with pharmacies nationwide. State Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen discussed the Walgreens distribution sites at a press conference last week.
As far as the Walgreens pharmacies, they are going to have vaccines starting at the end of this week at 300 or so stores. And as the governor mentioned, they're going to have a very small allocation in each store. Those 300 were selected by Walgreens themselves. They are already taking appointments for their vaccines that they will have at the end of the week. We already heard that their website was having some issues. So we know there's a lot of demand out there. And again, supply is incredibly low at each of these individual sites. It's about 100 doses at each of these 300 sites. And again, this allocation comes in addition to what we are getting as a state. So the Walgreens gets that allocation directly from the federal government. It does not come through our state allocation, which is different than the long-term care program, which also runs through Walgreens and CVS. That did come from our state allocation. So slightly different mechanisms that they're employing here. But again, Walgreens, as they move forward starting this weekend, will come from a separate allocation from the federal government, very small amount of doses in each of their about 300 stores across North Carolina.
That's State Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen speaking there. In other health news, a former Tar Heel basketball player has just donated $10 million to build two medical clinics in underserved communities near his hometown of Wilmington. That former Tar Heel is Michael Jordan. 20 after the hour, time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Busy day today for Tar Heel sports as UNC men's lacrosse hosts High Point at 2 p.m. and the UNC women's tennis team, still coming off that ITA national championship a week ago, hosts a doubleheader against Charlotte and Appalachian State. Not playing today is the Tar Heel men's basketball team. They were set to face Virginia Tech tonight, but that game has been called off due to COVID issues in the Hokies program. Carolina struggled to find an opponent to replace Virginia Tech, even got to the point yesterday where they tweeted out an open call to schools who wanted to play. But the Tar Heels did find a replacement in the end. They'll host Northeastern tomorrow evening in the Smith Center at a time still yet to be determined. Duke's basketball team got some big news yesterday, too. If you're following, highly touted freshman Jalen Johnson says he is foregoing the rest of the season and declaring early for the NBA draft. See this happen with football players missing bowl games. Not too often it happens in basketball, but Jalen Johnson made the announcement yesterday. He was averaging 11 points and 6 boards a game for the Blue Devils, but he struggled with injuries back in December. He's been in and out of the starting lineup, and he says he wants to make sure he stays 100% healthy, direct quote, ahead of the draft. Obviously, Duke has had a less than stellar year this year anyway, been kind of a disappointing year for the Blue Devils. A lot of blue chip teams, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, all having rough years this year. Over to football, where UNC announced some good financial news. Rare that we say good financial news these days, but Inside Carolina yesterday reported UNC football in 2019 generated nearly $50 million in revenue. That's a new record for the program. program and had a budget surplus of nearly $19 million. That was year one of the Mac Brown era. A lot of excitement that year. So no big surprise, the spike in revenue and that big budget surplus from 2019 should help soften the blow from not being able to have many fans in the stands in 2020. Finally, another win last night for the Carolina Hurricanes, 7-3 over Columbus. That's three straight wins now for the Canes, and they're back in action tomorrow at 5, looking to keep that run going when they host Florida.